Beginning on October, I had the opportunity to travel to South Korea to visit my sister, who's been living there for almost 7 years now, and it was a great opportunity. I was there for about 8 days, and it was great to see my sister and the ministry she's involved with and the work she's doing, and get to know the church she's been at. And I had a great time also just traveling as a tourist. Usually when I travel, I'm leading a mission team, and so I took a few days. I'm like, oh, I have no one to be responsible for, just me. This is awesome. And so I had fun traveling across the country, and took the train, went out to the coast. South Korea is a beautiful place. Got to hike up all these mountains, got to eat some really, really good food, got to drink a ton of coffee. South Koreans, they love their coffee, and man, they brew it to perfection. Flat white changed my life forever. Why the flat whites never took off here in the States, I don't know, but I experienced the flat white. It was awesome. So I had a great time being there, but one of the real highlights for me was visiting the church that my sister has been a part of for the last 6 years now. And you'll see a picture, a couple pictures up on the screen. I know it's a little hard to see this morning, but it's a pretty large church of about 6,000 people. Do we have that picture of the church, you guys? Can we put it up? Pretty large church there. And what I wanted you guys to see, I know it's a little hard, is the parking lot. You think we have parking issues here? All right, church of 6,000 people. They have five services, so over 1,000 people at each service. Their lot is probably smaller than ours. And man, you got to leave your keys in the car because the parking lot attendants got to do this Tetris thing and continually like move the cars around. It was really cool to see. But I had a powerful experience there in the worship service and God's presence. Man, it was so real. And we're standing there and we're worshiping and they're singing in Korean and they had the words translated in English, so I'm singing along. And there was such a peaceful, powerful presence of the Holy Spirit in that place. I'm like, what is this? And I started doing some research, and you see that the church in Mongolia, yeah, they have a passion for God's word. They have a passion for worship. But what they really have a passion for is prayer. And you see the effects of this commitment, this passion for prayer all across the nation. And it was so refreshing to my soul to come and worship alongside our Korean brothers and sisters. And again, I was doing some research on the church, and I read some articles from some other pastors and believers who've traveled to Mongolia, and they all talk about the frequency and commitment to prayer among Korean believers. The frequency, the commitment to prayer. And again, you see this fruit all across the nation. And if I'm honest, selfishly, as I'm standing there in that congregation 2 weeks ago, I said, Lord, would you do something like this at Hope Church? Would you do something like this across our nation and our country? Because we need it. Man, we need it. And so what I want to talk about this morning, I'm not going to go very long, but I want to talk about persistency in prayer. Why is that important for us as God's people? So if you would stand, let's look at our text today. Luke 11, verses 1 through 4, and then verses 9 through 13. Reading from Luke 11. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, Lord, teach us to pray, as John had taught his disciples. And he said to them, when you pray, say, Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread and forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us, and lead us not into temptation. And then verse 9. And I tell you, ask, it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. And knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, we'll give him a scorpion. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? You may be seated. Let's pray. Father, over these next few minutes here, as we look at your word, as we talk about prayer, Lord, would you do a work in our hearts? Like only you can do, Father, would you help us see the value, the importance of we as your children coming before you in prayer. So Holy Spirit, be in this place. May every word that proceeds from my mouth truly bring honor and glory to your name. Amen. And now if you've grown up in church, If you're a believer, you're not going to be surprised when you hear a pastor say, we should pray, right? I mean, we all know we're called to pray. We see it all through the Old Testament and New Testament where God calls his people to be in prayer. Yet, if we're honest, most of us would probably admit that prayer is difficult. Anyone else wish you prayed a little more deeply and consistently than you currently do? Yeah, probably many of us. Prayer is not an activity a lot of us do well at. And so this morning's sermon, this isn't a drive-by. It's not a drive-by guilting sermon. It's not shame on us. We should pray more. Rather, my hope is that we see the extreme privilege we've been given, really the gift God has given us, and be able to come to him as our Father, been able to come to him in prayer. And so I want to look at three reasons this morning, three reasons why we as God's people should be persistent in prayer. Now, no one modeled consistency and persistency in prayer better than Jesus. He knew the great privilege. He knew the great responsibility that it was. And there's several scriptures that show us this. I just want to highlight a few. Matthew 14:23. I put these on your sermon notes as well. And after he, that's Jesus, had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. Mark 1:35. And rising very early in the morning while it was still dark, Jesus departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Luke 6:12. And these days Jesus went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And then Luke 5:15-16, you'll see this on the screens. But even now more, the report about Jesus went abroad, and great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. But he would withdraw to desolate places and what? Pray. So Jesus is modeling the importance of prayer, of being in communication and relationship with his Father. And here's what he's doing. Great crowds are pressing in on him. I mean, massive crowds are following Jesus. And what does he do? He leaves. And I can just imagine the disciples thinking, wait, Jesus, you have thousands of people following you. They're ready to hear you proclaim the word of God. And Jesus is like, yeah, exactly. That's why I need to go and be with my Father, abide with him, hear from him, renew my strength in him. You have desperately hurting and broken people coming to Jesus. What does he do? He goes away and he prays. You see, Jesus understood the importance of abiding with his heavenly Father, of being in relationship with him. He knew the strength he needed to do the ministry God called him to was rooted in him abiding with his Father. And so Jesus is showing us that you can't care for the broken. You can't do the ministry God's called you to if you're not taking time to abide, if you're not taking time to be in prayer, if you're not taking time to be dependent on him. And that's the first reason why we are called to be persistent in prayer, because it keeps us dependent on Christ. Now think of all the miracles that Jesus performed, and the disciples saw Jesus perform all these miracles. I mean, it would have been awesome, right? To see the wind and the rain and the storms like stop. Jesus says stop, and they stop. To see Jesus heal all these people of diseases and the lame to walk, healing leprosy, casting out demons, right? And then there's the feeding of the 5,000, which was an amazing miracle, and then the raising of Lazarus from the dead. So how awesome, how amazing would it have been to witness all these miracles? I would have loved to be there. But here's what I find really interesting. Nowhere do we see, now I suppose it could have happened, but we don't see this in scripture, where the disciples come to Jesus and they're like, Jesus, teach us how to do that miracle. I mean, that feeding of the 5,000, that was awesome. Imagine if we, Peter, James, and John, like if we could do it as well. I mean, Jesus, your ministry would multiply. But no, you don't see the disciples asking that of Jesus. But what do they ask him? Luke 11:1, Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus, teach us to pray. And I believe that in watching the rhythm of Jesus' life, the disciples understood the value, the importance, the reward that came as Jesus took time to pray and abide with his Father, as he took time to be dependent on God. And as Christ followers, we are called to be dependent on him. John 15:5, we know this verse. Whoever abides in me and I in him, it is he that bears much fruit, for apart from me, you can do nothing. And I believe one of the key ways we abide with Christ, one of the ways we grow in and deepen our relationship with Him, one of the ways we stay dependent on Him is through prayer. I love what Max Lucado says. I put this quote on your sermon notes. He says this, "Prayer is an ongoing dialogue with God about the day-to-day issues of life through prayer." I love this. Instead of trying to fix the problem ourselves. You ever tried to do that? Too many times, you get in trouble, right? Trying to fix the problem ourselves, we engage God in the solution of our problems. If I can be honest, I think one of the stumbling blocks to the church in the United States today, Hope Church included, I think we try to figure out our problems too much on our own. We think, okay, maybe if we had this program, right? Maybe if we had this system, this ministry, maybe that'll solve the problems. And why do we have that mentality? Because this is America, right? I mean, we got this. We'll figure it out. That's been our motto since like the 1900s, maybe before. And so we try all these programs, we try all these methods, we try all these systems, and might God be saying to us, hey church, would you just abide? Would you just pray? Church, would you seek me? I have the answers. I have the solutions. Would you come? Would you hear from me? Would you depend on me? Listen, if Jesus engaged in prayer, and He's God in the flesh, how much more should we be consistently, persistently coming before God, knocking, seeking, asking Him to move among us, in us, through us, asking Him to give us a solution, the answers to our problems. Why be persistent in prayer? Because it keeps us dependent on Christ. Another reason why we are to be persistent is because we have a loving Father who delights in giving His children good gifts. Now in Luke 11, the verses that I read, Jesus is contrasting earthly fathers with God as Father. And His main point is that God is a giver of better gifts than any human father could think of. Do you believe that? That God is a giver of better gifts than any human father could think of. Yeah, we've received the greatest gift we could ever receive, salvation through Jesus as we put our hope and trust in Him. So God wants to give good gifts. Now, do we always get what we want? No. That's not what the text is saying, and thank God for that. Because if we always got what we wanted, think about it. If you always got what you prayed for, you'd be a hot mess, wouldn't you? Yeah. Because at our core, we're sinful, right? Our desires are not pure, so thank God we don't always get what we want and what we pray for. But here's what we know, that we have a Heavenly Father who ultimately knows the gifts we need. You see, He knows what's best for us. And as we pray, our desires become more aligned with His will and His desires for us. And so He invites us to ask Him because He delights in giving us good gifts. He delights in our desires becoming His desires for us. I think that's one of the real gifts of prayer. As we pray, our desires become really what He desires for us, or what He desires become what we desire. All right, anyone excited for Christmas? Yeah. Kids are. All right, I did the math this week. 4 days and 2 months away, Christmas is here. I'm like, whoa, some of you are like freaking out, right? We got Christmas parties and smorgasbord and like presents to buy, gotta go online, all of that. Anyone started playing Christmas music yet? No way, you guys serious? I'm a traditionalist at heart, right? And I believe you shall not, according to Leviticus 19:17, you shall not play Christmas music until Thanksgiving Day. I think that's what it says. No, I'm kidding. If you love Christmas music, hey, more power to you. But we love Christmas, right? We do. And one of the joys of Christmas is being able to give others whom we love good gifts, right? And seeing them open it and get excited about it. For those of you who are parents, it's a joy. Most of the time, unless they don't like the gift and they get all crabby, right? But usually it's a joy to give your children good gifts. Now think about this. We have the perfect Father, don't we? God, who is infinitely good. You and I, we are not infinitely good. He is infinitely good. And I believe God says to us as a father, guess what I have for you? Great gifts. Great gifts. It might not be exactly what you want. Actually, it's better than you want because I know what's best. That's why you need to keep seeking me, church. Because I know what's best. I have the answers. I have the solutions. I know what's best for you. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Hear from me. Listen to me. I have good gifts. You need to trust me in that. Keep seeking. Keep knocking. Keep asking. The final reason why we should be persistent in prayer is because it's how we engage in the battle. It's how we engage in the battle. This is a big one. Ephesians 6:12 says this, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places." Now, Scripture tells us that as believers, we're involved in a battle that is spiritual and not physical in nature. So we have an arch enemy, Satan, and he seeks to destroy the work of God, the people of God on this earth. 1 Peter 5 warns us that he's a prowling lion seeking whom he can devour. And so the enemy is real. We are in a battle. We need to understand this. And so Ephesians 6, verses 13 through 17, I read that passage earlier, and we love this passage, don't we? Because it talks about putting on the full armor of God. And so we have the belt of truth so that we can encounter the devil's lies. We have the breastplate of righteousness so Christ's righteousness covers us. We take up the shield of faith so that we can extinguish the fiery darts of the enemy. We have the helmet of salvation, and we take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. So we're all decked out, right? We have all this armor, and listen to me. The armor is important. It's extremely important. You don't want to go to battle if you don't have armor. So we need the armor. But most of us, when it comes to this passage in Ephesians 6, talking about the armor, I think we stop at verse 17. And so, man, I got the armor, right? I got the helmet, I got the vest, got the shoes, got the shield, got the sword. And now we're like, okay, now what? I think a lot of us, we just kind of stand around. Okay, armor, got it. Verse 18, I think, is key for us. Because you see, this passage, it calls us to be on the offensive, not to take a defensive stance. So how do we go on the offensive? How do we battle? Here's how we wage war. Ephesians 6:18, praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And so this text is saying, you got the full armor of God on. Awesome, good, great. Let's go on the offensive. How do we do that? Prayerfulness. Prayer of all kinds for the saints, the kingdom, our families, our co-workers, our church. Prayer and persevering in it. And as we pray, I believe we are unleashing an assault in the heavenlies against our arch enemy, Satan. We see this in Daniel 10. We don't have time to go there. But as we pray, we fight darkness. As we pray, we push back powers and principalities. As we pray, the kingdom of God is advanced here on earth. Listen, church, we have a real enemy. We do. But ultimately, it's an enemy who's been defeated by Christ and what he accomplished for you and me on the cross, and how he rose again in victory, and we've been empowered to battle against him. How do we do it? Yes, put on the full armor. We need to have our minds girded with truth. We must study God's word. That equips us for the battle. But then we get on our knees, we get on our faces, and we pray. And church, I experienced this when I was in South Korea. And man, it was a beautiful thing to see. And I think for us here, man, there's just so many distractions, me included. I've been challenged with this. I mean, I think how much time I spend on Facebook or watching shows. The real battle. I think it's won on our knees, is it not? So man, I pray that yes, we would be a church that's armed for battle. We want that, that's important. But that we wouldn't just stop there. That we would go on the offensive. That we'd wage war against the enemy. That we would be a prayerful people. Can we commit to that as God's people? All right, so in your sermon notes on the back of them this morning, I've listed a model for prayer, all right? And I know it's 11:34. Vikings don't play for another 25 minutes, so I'm just going to take 5 minutes, all right? I want us to practice this morning. I just want us to walk through this for the next 5 minutes. I won't be long. We're just going to pray. I believe God's called us to this as his church, as his people. So I know we're going a little long. If you need to leave, feel free to leave. But I don't want to stand up here and talk about prayer. Got our armor. Now what? Now let's go on the offensive this morning. Can we do that? All right. So this is a model based on the Lord's Prayer. There's many different models. I just want to take a few moments and walk through this section by section as God's people this morning. So let's come before him in prayer. The first section is this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Just take a few moments, acknowledge the majesty, the holiness of God. There is no other like him. And take some time to thank God for the many gifts he's given us. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Ask God that his will be done in your life, your family's life, in our church, and in our city. Not what you want. Remember, he knows what's best. Give us this day our daily bread. Lay before God any needs that you have or that others in your life, people close to you, may have. Ask God to provide for those needs that you or others have. And forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. Admit your sin to God and ask for forgiveness. If certain sins come to mind, just lay those at his feet this morning. He's a God of grace. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of forgiveness. And then bring before God people whom you may need to forgive. Say, God, forgiveness is not easy. I need your help. I lay this person, I bring them before you. Bring to mind, or lay at God's feet, anyone that comes to mind whom you need to forgive. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Ask God to give you strength over particular areas of temptation to which you easily give in. I would encourage you, be specific. And then pray for God's protection over your life, your family, our church, our communities, and our nation. Father, once again, we thank you for the great privilege, the great responsibility it is for us as your people to come before you in prayer. God, what a gift you've given us. You have the answers. You have the solutions. We find them in your word. We do. But you also call us. You invite us to pray. So, Father, may we as Hope Church, may we be a prayerful people. Father, thank you that ultimately we don't have to fight. I mean, we get on our knees, you call us to that, but ultimately you're the one fighting for us. So, Father, this week, may we continue, may we be reminded of the importance of the value of prayer. Would you remove distractions from us, Father? Would you please? And help us to commit to being persistent in prayer as you have called us to. It's for your beautiful name that we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Hey, thanks for taking that time to do that. One last encouragement, then we'll close with worship. Three times this week. What if we all committed to three times this week just praying through the Lord's Prayer? Again, there's this model that we just went through. There's other models as well. Families, I would encourage you to do this together. Parents, imagine sitting down with your kids. All right, what temptations do we have, guys? What are needs that we have? Let's bring them before our Father together as families. Can we commit to that? 5 minutes, three times this week. Let's see what God does. All right, let's worship.